Looks fun, huh? Makes me want to be a kid again and come to splash around and jump on those big bouncers. So, hey, good morning, guys. I'm Sean Peterson. Hey, happy long weekend to you here. If you're visiting and with some friends today, just want to extend a welcome to you. We are looking at part two today of a two-part series, really. We're going through the book of James, but last week we started the power of words, part one. Today we're going to continue with that. We've had an assignment that I threw out last week that a bunch of us have tried. It was called the tongue assignment, which was to monitor and basically think about the words we're saying, right? Don't do a bunch of things and try to positively do a lot of things. I've heard of a lot of examples from friends and different coworkers and such from this last week about people trying it. How did you do? Some of you, those of you who tried it, it's a mixed reaction, isn't it? It's quite hard. If you didn't get a chance to do it, you know, you're not supposed to do the things on the left, but you're supposed to do the things on the right. I heard one example of a guy in his G2 went around to the whole group and spoke a word of encouragement to every single one of them as a way to do the things that are on the right side of it. I heard a lot of people saying, you know, I was really motivated. I was greatly inspired to go the whole week and basically do this the right way. And it didn't take long, and they realized, uh-oh, I'm violating it. Remember, the point is to increase our awareness, not to do it perfectly, because the scriptures are telling us very clearly that the overflow of our heart is what our mouth is going to speak. So, how do we know what's in our heart? It's hard to know what's in our heart sometimes. So, what comes out is going to reveal what's inside. That's the point of it all, and it's to help us be aware so that we can see, am I functioning like I believe the gospel? Or am I just giving it lip service, saying, yeah, I believe the gospel, but then I live my life whatever way I want to live it through the week. So if you were discouraged this last week by seeing all the words that came out of your mouth, don't despair, and here's why. God loved you last week before you did the tongue assignment, perfectly seeing everything that was in your heart. And he loves you the same today as he did last week. You just have maybe more awareness of the sin that's in your heart. But God saw it all anyway, and he says, I love you, and I love you perfectly. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to live with confidence and courage to keep living this life of faith. So today, we're in part two. Of the power of words. I'm going to give you four insights into the power of words. They all come from the first 12 verses in James chapter 3. So I'd like to pray for us, ask the Lord to speak to us, and then I'll read through this. You can follow along, and then we'll look at in with a little more depth into some of the insights in here. Will you bow your heads together? Let's pray. Lord, we are here not by coincidence, but we're here by your sovereign plan over each and every one of us. And that means there is a purpose to this moment right now. And that purpose is for you to teach us. Please do that through the power of your words today. We ask this confidently in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So if you'd like to pull out your scriptures, paper version, maybe you'd like to look at it in the U version on your phone, that's great. It'll be on the screens here as well. I'm going to read through James 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Father, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grape vine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Let me give you the first insight into the power of words from these verses today. Words have penetration power. These words have penetration power. And you can look on your G2Qs, the handout that was given to you as you come in. They have some places on there where you can write down some things to help you remember through the week. This is the first insight we're going to look at, the penetrating power of words. This comes from two verses in what I just read to you. If you look at verse 6, it gives us the first part about penetration power. It says that they're setting on fire the entire course of life. So when a word is spoken, it's like a little spark or like a little flame of fire that spreads and sets the entire forest ablaze. The fire does not stay on the surface of the trees and just bounce off, like the childhood saying, I'm rubber and you're glue, and whatever you say bounces off me and sticks on you. Words do not bounce off of us. Like the heat and the fire and the smoke of a forest fire, it consumes all of the tree. Words penetrate our hearts. If you look at verse 8, it gives another analogy to this penetration power. It says, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, the picture here is of a poisonous snake. The snake is seeking its next prey. Its fangs are filled with lethal poison and venom, and when the snake strikes, what does it do with that venom? It injects it into you. Words are like that. They have penetrating power. Am I exaggerating? I mean, are you carrying around with you words that someone has spoken to you from the past and they have penetrated your hearts? Words from a parent, coach, teacher, maybe a pastor, your spouse. Words have a life to them. And you can also do it to yourself by, you know, your own self-dialogue about saying, oh, I'm a messed up failure. I'm worthless. I'm a hot mess. I'm never going to whatever you can fill in that next blank is. James is saying, these words can set a person's life on fire or penetrate you like poisonous venom. And then if you look down to verses 9 and 10, James categorizes these hurtful, destructive words that penetrate us. He calls them curses. The tongue has the power over the listener to curse them. We're not just thinking the evil thoughts in our minds now. You give them evil when you speak them to the other person. Some of you can remember the exact words that somebody has spoken to you that have wounded and cursed you like that. Some of them are more painful than others. We all have our stories on this. I'll give you an example from my eighth grade year. That's a long time ago, eighth grade. I had a crush on this girl named Kelly. She rode my bus. Man, I thought she was foxy. That's the word I would have used at that time. This was back in the 80s. And so I mustered up all of my courage. I walked down the aisle of the bus. I sat down next to her, and I asked her to be my girlfriend. Now, for some reason, she was not honored by this invitation. She was offended. That's an interesting psychological profile on Kelly, but we're not going to go there. So she rejected me. She said, no, I'm not going to be your girlfriend, right? So, man, that was heartbreaking, right? I took that risk. I put my heart out there, and she just crushed me. When I was getting off the bus that day, I'm walking down, you know, the bus is filled with a bunch of people. She shouts out so everybody can hear, including me as I'm getting off this bus, hey, there goes big-lipped Peterson. I thought, big-lipped? I never thought of myself as having big lips before. But you know what I did when I got home? I looked in the mirror. And I tried to like turn sideways. You know, you can't really see a good profile of yourself. And then I got another mirror so that I could look in that mirror, reflecting off this mirror, and see a profile of my face. It was the first time I'd ever seen a profile of myself. And I thought, I do have big lips. And evidently, that's not a good thing. Man, I thought about those words for way too long. I can laugh about them now. I don't care. But those words were like these logs on the fire of insecurity that was blazing in my heart for many years through middle school and high school and even college. See, another place in Scripture that talks about how words penetrate is Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. And it's because of the penetrating power of words that Cassie and I have been very cautious with the words we speak to our children. I'm going to give you an example. I mean, no doubt Cassie and I have spoken many hurtful words to our kids. And like all kids, at some point when you become an adult, you need some counseling and some therapy to work out what your parents said and did to you. I expect it. That's fine. But we have been cautious. And here's an example. When they did something selfish, we would not say, you are selfish. Instead, what we'd say is, you just acted selfishly. So you see the difference? The first statement defines their whole being, like their whole existence, through the lens of selfishness. It's the equivalent of saying you, everything about you, is selfish. Words like that will penetrate a young, forming heart of a kid. They'll stick with you. Stick with you potentially for decades as you define yourself through that. It's like speaking a curse on them. So instead, the second statement, it calls out the selfish act, but it doesn't curse them with words that define their whole existence. Yes, you did act selfishly, but I will not define you with one act in your life. So this is the first insight I want to point out from these verses here, that words have penetration power. We should be very cautious with our words because of this. Here's the second insight I want to give you. Words are naturally untamable. Verse 8 says, but no human being can tame the tongue. So this is very bad news because not only are these words so powerful, they penetrate a person's heart, you can't fix it on your own. You can't tame your tongue that's going to be penetrating hearts around you, meaning your self-control cannot cure your words. You cannot improve your words through, you can improve them a little bit, for sure, but you're never going to fully tame them. I was thinking about the different analogies of this, and there's a lot of things that would break down in this analogy, but I thought about wild exotic animals, like lions, maybe a bear or a leopard. Have you seen those YouTube videos where somebody is like playing with one of these wild animals, hugging them and like wrestling with them, and they're saying, hey, I've tamed this whatever the animal is, a lion, and they look tamed. I watch those videos, and I think I'd like to have that animal at my house. That'd be awesome, Wouldn't it be cool to like have a put a leash around your bear's neck and walk your bear around your neighborhood? That'd be amazing. I think it'd be amazing anyway. I don't know. Are they really tamed? I was doing a little research on this last week, and basically every source I found said no. Smithsonian Magazine said this: when they get big enough to kill you, they can kill you. That instinct never goes away. James is saying that our words are like that exotic animal. They may look tamed, but they're not. Watch out. Given the right situation, push the wrong buttons in your life, you get that look from that person when you're already kind of riled up on the inside, and boy, your supposedly tame words are going to reveal your true nature right in that moment. Like, why does it work this way? Well, because whatever's inside is what's going to come out of you. That's what we talked about last week, right? Your words simply reveal what's inside of you. They reveal your thoughts, your intentions, your personality. God is telling us here, look, do you want to change your words? Great. Then change your heart. That's what he's saying here. Now, we posted an illustration this last week online about, holding a cup of coffee, and you're walking along, and somebody bumps into you and shakes you, right? So this is my coffee for today. I'm going to take the lid off of this because we need to illustrate a little spilling. This is a good cup of coffee, by the way. I just want to tell you. I'm really appreciative of our coffee shop that made this for me. 3 shots of espresso, 2 pumps of sugar-free vanilla, and some half and half on ice. Now, you may have your preference of coffee. That's fine. Don't criticize me. That's a violation of the tongue assignment right there. Some of you think it's weak and lame to put like sweetener in your coffee. That's fine. Drink your bitter coffee. That's okay. Totally good. I just violated that tongue assignment, didn't I? I shouldn't have said that. Sorry. All right, so here's the idea, right? You're walking along in life. You got your coffee. You're excited, and somebody bumps into you, and what happens, right? You spill. I shouldn't have done that. All right. And you spill and get it all over you. That wasn't actually planned, but that's fine. All right, so we get the idea, right? And the question was, here's the question. Why did you spill the coffee? The answer is you spilled the coffee because there's coffee in the mug or in the glass, right? That's why you spilled it. You're going to think, no, I spilled the coffee because you bumped into me. Well, look, you're going to spill whatever's inside, right? If it's tea, you're going to spill tea. So the point of the analogy and the idea is this. Whenever life comes along and shakes you, rattles you, bumps into you, you're going to spill out whatever is inside. You with me? So as we're thinking about like our whole life, right? All those hurtful words, all of the things that we've injected over the years, all of the self-talk that we have going on, it's going to spill out. You can't stop it. Life is going to bump into you. You know things are going to drive you crazy. And what we need to deal with is what's inside the cup. Now, if we just stopped like right here in the middle of the sermon, this would be a bit of a cliffhanger. And mostly what I've been telling you so far, it's bad news. Words penetrate and words are naturally untamable. Like, where's the hope in that? What's the point? Like, are we getting just beat down? Where's the power of the gospel in this? So hang with me. We're only halfway through the sermon. Here's the other half, right? Here's the power right here. We need an outside source that's going to basically come into our heart. And the outside source is the Word of God. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit combined together, they start to fill our hearts. And watch what happens. First, they're going to dilute what's in our heart. And then they're just going to keep pouring. They're going to keep pouring. We did practice this. They're going to keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, and watch what happens. Do you see how it's now diluted? It's less dark, right? If I had 2, 3, 4, 5 pitchers of this, if I had an endless supply of water pouring into this cup, eventually the original stained dark liquid would become perfectly clear, just like the pitcher. That's what God is offering us with the power of His Word and the work of the Holy Spirit and the confession of sin. He will transform our hearts so that then when we bump into people, what are we spilling out? Well, we're spilling out the nature and the character of Jesus. That's what we're spilling out. Because you can't stop from getting bumped into in life. You can't stop from getting spilled on with other people. And I love the hope and the optimism in that. I love the idea that I am not doomed and neither are you. That God is very dedicated to growing all of us up in Christ-likeness. He doesn't take it casually. He's very dedicated to growing us so that when we spill out, we overflow onto other people, and we can then use that penetrating power of words to give God glory and use it for godly purposes instead of hurtful ones. I want to show you two ways that this can happen. The first one is words can heal other people. Words can heal others. Let's read verse 9 and 10. With it, so this is our tongue, these are our words, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So this is saying when we speak something, we give it life. Our words, they can either bless someone or they can curse them. There's life in that. Let me explain what I mean. There's a phrase in these verses here where it says, made in the likeness of God. That's a significant phrase. Like, why is that phrase there? It's not actually a phrase that's important in the logical flow of what James is saying here. And what does it mean? Well, it means, if you reference back to Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Humanity is the only part of creation that's made in God's image. Now, there's a lot of mystery about what does that fully mean. Theologians have identified parts of what that means. Here's one part of what it means. We speak words like God. No other part of creation speaks words. So when God created the universe, how did he create it? He spoke. Our words have a life to them because being made in the image of God, God's words have life to them. This is part of our humanity that distinguishes us from the animals and the trees and the rocks. Why does it say in Scripture that if humans will not give praise and glory to God, the rocks will cry out? But, well, the rocks are doing something they weren't created to do. We are created to use our words to speak praise and glory to God. And if we violate that purpose, God will actually have rocks, which are not designed to speak, actually do speaking. Think of how something changes from only thinking to speaking out loud. Something changes when that happens, doesn't it? Have you been in those moments? You're in a conversation of some kind, and it's a conversation where somebody is getting run down and kind of beat up with words. And you are in the conversation. You haven't spoken anything yet, but you're hearing it, and you're thinking to yourself, I agree. As a matter of fact, I could add to this conversation. If you remain silent and you walk away from that moment, you feel something, and it's usually something, although you may need to confess some thoughts, you feel, let's just say fairly good. Same situation, and as the conversation goes on and you think to yourself, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then something nudges you just enough, and then you speak it. Boy, you start piling on to that person with everybody else. As soon as you speak it, what do you feel? Oh, you feel it, don't you? You feel like, oh, it's different. It's different than just thinking it. When you speak it, you give it life. And we know that difference. See, your words, they penetrate others. Your words are taken by others and carried along to others. They're like, oh, did you hear such and such? I heard so-and-so say such and such. Your spoken words spread. Your thoughts stick right here with you. That's why words are different. See, because words have a life to them, they penetrate the hearts of other people. And this power can be used, God wants us to use this power to heal other people. We need this from each other. And God intends us to use our words to speak healing to other people. I mean, who doesn't love some verbal affirmation? It's because those words penetrate our hearts and they perform a healing that's inside of us that we need. I was talking to Joyce File, our global outreach director, this last week, and she shared this great story about speaking words that heal to a group of women over in Tajikistan. These women have very hard lives. Their marriages are arranged. They live with the husband's extended family, and the mother-in-law treats the women as their slaves in the house to do basically everything. And if the mother-in-law is unhappy with the performance of the wife, she can have her son actually kick the wife out. Sometimes they get multiple wives so that they can get more work done out of them. They're often beaten so they can control them with both fear and intimidation. Horrible, horrible lives. During this trip, Joyce wanted to train them and also bring encouragement to them. So she packed up these little silver boxes with her in her suitcase. And when she's with all of these women, she specifically spoke words of encouragement to every single one of these women and gave them this little silver box. And she said to them, "This box represents how precious words can be. I'm speaking encouragement to you right now, and I'm going to give you this little box as a reminder of the powerful encouragement that words bring to your hearts." It was a very moving and emotional time together. I mean, they were crying, hugging, and just sort of enjoying and basking in the healing that words can bring. Your words can change other people's lives. Your words can heal insecurities, fears, confusion, doubts. God wants you to use your words like that. See, some of us think, well, if my words are so powerful and so penetrating and hurtful to others, I guess I'll just be quiet all the time. I'm reckless with my words. I'm hurtful with my words, so I'm going to say nothing. That's not God's intention for your words. He wants you to actively and proactively use them. And as you mature in the nature and the character of Jesus, as your heart is filled up more and more and more and more with God's word, and the Spirit uses that to mature you and grow you, then you're going to start to overflow with healing words that can heal other people. This is the opposite of those penetrating words that curse people. These are now going to be penetrating words that heal other people. Now, let me start getting into some application here. Let me show you how you can move forward to become the person who uses their words to heal other people more frequently. Right? We don't want to be just hearers of this word. We want to become a doer of this word, right? That's from earlier in the book of James. So how can we move forward with more intentionality? And this is the fourth insight that I'm going to give you. This is the last one I'm going to give you on these verses. Words can lead your heart. Words can lead your heart. The tongue is a key to changing your whole self. It's fascinating. Let's read verses 3-5. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very strong rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. There's some interesting things that are being said in here, and often the point is missed. The horse bit and the rudder of the ship are small. But what do? They guide. They lead. They set the direction. They are in control. And it's the same with the word, with our tongues. Words give direction to our heart. Yeah, this doesn't contradict what I was saying earlier, that our words are an overflow of the heart. What it's saying is you can actually give direction and leadership to your heart with your words. It goes both ways. So if you can use your words to guide your own heart, what would that look like? I'm going to give you some really practical examples. Some things you can implement, like starting even this week. Some things you can continue to do this week that many of you maybe have already been doing. You can sing songs of praise. Praise Him out loud. Did you know that's one of the reasons why we sing together in church? Because it gives direction to our hearts. The psalmist preaches to himself many times throughout the Psalms, telling his own heart to get back in line to praising God. So when you're doing this, you're directing your thoughts to remember God's goodness and reminding yourself that praising God is an appropriate thing to do with your mouth. I was thinking about a song that I bet you guys know that is an exact example of this. You know the song that goes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." What are we doing in that song? We're telling our soul to do something, aren't we? Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. I'm telling myself to bless God. I'm telling myself to sing praises to God. Why? Why does it say in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you." It's the antidote to a heart that's restless, a heart that's down, a heart that feels cursed, is that you speak words of truth to yourself. Some of you are letting your heart be led by the hurtful words of others and words from your past. Do you want to put a stop to that today? See, in a positive manner, this is what it could look like. Not just singing songs, but saying to yourself in your thoughts and even saying it out loud. This is an interesting thing that we don't do that often. We live a lot in our heads. We think a lot of things. Spoken words have more power. Spoken words like, I am made in the image of God. God knows me thoroughly, and he loves me perfectly. God loves me more than I could ever imagine, because I don't even know all of the sin that I have, and yet he looks at me and he says, you are my child, you are my beloved, and I love you. God says to you, I have given you amazing spiritual gifts. Use them to bless other people. You are free from judgment because all of the judgment that you deserved was given to Jesus Christ, and therefore I am free from that. See, if you want to stop the negative words from leading your heart, begin using truthful words about God, about what God says about you, to positively lead your heart. You are not powerless in this. That's my point. You, like the with the bit in the horse's mouth and the rudder on the ship, you can guide your heart by using God's truth, speaking it. I've been thinking a lot about this. This is, for me, I would say, just in a personal manner, here's what I would say about myself. I've been, over the last couple of weeks, been meditating on this, researching some things, and trying to really understand what these verses mean. This point that I'm making right here is probably the first time I've thought as much about this with such specifics and refinement that I'm telling you right now. But as I think back over the last 20 years of my life, here's what I would say. I've stumbled into this. And here's how I stumbled into it. I've mentioned many times how I would drive around town over like the last 20, 25 years meditating on God's word. Well, do you know how I did that when I would be driving around? I would look at the verse and then I would look up at the road and I would speak these words out loud. I would go on long runs and I would have, I was trying to memorize through the book of 1 Peter. And as I'm running along, I would literally start speaking God's word as I ran along the side of the road. I've told you before, I love going on trail runs up in the wilderness. And I haven't given this detail before, but one of the things that I'll often do, because I'm almost completely alone on these trail runs, right? You know, you might see somebody every 15 minutes, is that as I'm listening to worship music on my headphones, I'll start singing out loud. Why? Because I'm weird. I don't know. Because I love to sing. I don't know. Like, they're singing, and I'm like, I'm all alone in the woods. Why not sing? And then I'll push pause and I'll just start to say, and I do this out loud more than I do it just in my head, because again, there's nobody else around. I start thinking, God, look at your amazing creation. And I speak these words. And so here's what I just want to tell you, just from my own personal reflection, I've been doing this accidentally. But I think about like our lives, how much of it is lived in here, even as it relates to spiritual truths. When you pray, do you ever pray alone, just out loud? That's a good thing to do. Do you ever just drive along in the car and just like make total silence, and then you, all alone, you just start to praise and sing songs to God? I'm trying to give you some really, really practical tips here this week. Some things that might completely change the way you use your words, not just for this week, but maybe the rest of your life. Because some of you desperately long for more spiritual growth in your heart. And what James chapter 3 is telling us is that the spoken word is very powerful and can lead your heart. So my encouragement to you is this: lead your heart with your words and use God's word to form and shape your words. Wouldn't it be great if all of us were just like spilling out our guts everywhere we went, and everything that spilled out of us was the nature and the character of Jesus Christ? Imagine that. Imagine hundreds of people living in our community, getting bumped into and ruffled and like insulted, cut off in traffic. And boy, the stuff that comes out of our mouth is just this, this overflow of the nature and the character of Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think that that's part of God's intention and purpose for his church. And through that, you guys, we can change people's lives. You can get a little glimpse of how much we can change their lives by thinking about how much your life has been changed by the blessings that other people have spoken to you. Your words are powerful, and God intends us to use them to be a blessing. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, we would ask now that you give each one of us a specific application, a specific action, a specific shift in our mindset today. We don't want to just be hearers of this. We want to move out now and be doers in some way. Would you please, as you speak to each of us, and inform us, guide us, and lead us. We want to know you more. We want to be changed more. And we want to bless other people more. All for your glory. Would you please do that for us? We pray this now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.